Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right, good morning and welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is, what's today? Wednesday?
Wednesday, March 16th.
March 16th. We're halfway through, Dave.
Awesome.
One day past halfway point. How are we feeling?
Feeling great.
You energized, ready to take on spring? It feels like spring today.
Yes, sir. Let's spring into it. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And thanks for what you do for local business and local companies. It's an awesome calling you've got.
I appreciate that. I'm not sure how much we do, but I know we try. You know, that's all we can say.
That's right.
Pretty exciting news last night. They are going to get rid of daylight savings time. Did you hear this?
Bold. I don't actually know which is which. I don't know if daylight savings time is the move forward or the move back.
So right now we're in regular time.
Okay.
Summer's regular time. It's the winter. So I think what this will do, because my wife and I were, she's like, she thinks we just earned an extra hour in life, period. But I was trying to explain to her, I think when we get up in the morning in the winter, it will be a little lighter, but it's going to start getting dark. I mean, we'll start seeing the change like around 3 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah, so if it was getting dark at like 5:30, it'll be like 4:30.
Right.
So how does this affect school buses and farmers? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. I think that was the story that kept us in it.
Right.
But I can tell you, my kids haven't farmed yet. They haven't been out on the farm.
They haven't?
No. Well, I think it was probably. I mean, there are states, Arizona, I don't think, does it at all. So there are states that don't really.
They've seceded from the time union.
They seceded. Well, I think it's, the funny thing is, let's just do it. I mean, why are we going to do it in 23? You know who actually I think had a problem with it was the airlines. Hmm. Maybe they've created routes and sold tickets for till 2023, and maybe that gives them enough time to start to adjust it. I don't know, but apparently airlines were the ones, not farmers, airlines. Well, good morning. It is Wednesday, and you are Dave Harrison, and you are from Wellness Connection. I came by and hung out with you the other day. Great spot. I think you got a little bit lucky.
It was great to have you there. Thanks so much for coming down.
Well, that place was once, it had a weird 2 years, right? It was, we've all known it as the bait and tackle shop.
Right.
For so many years. Perms and worms, because that's where I used to go. I used to buy bait and tackle, and I used to get foils for doing highlights, because I love both.
I got you. So one of the great things about that spot is, no matter who I'm talking to, if they're old-time Sussex County, and I say Bill's Sports Shop, boom, they know exactly what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
But we've transformed it a little bit. There's no worms there at the moment.
No. Well, and, you know, unfortunately, during the COVID, there was another group, and I forget the name, they're gone. But I remember going to check on them and seeing if I could get them on the podcast, because, you know, they pretty much threw all their eggs in one basket, and then COVID hit. And I remember stopping by and them just being like, oh, my God, what happened? And, you know, unfortunately, it looks like they had to move on. But they did a lot of outfitting in that spot. You really got a nice layout inside that building.
Yeah, the building is really impressive. The quality of construction, the steel girders are like 3 feet thick. It's got a mezzanine. It's really sad about what happened. They had a great idea. I would call it a discovery place or a science and math museum. It was called the Great Stemporium, and they had like a steampunk theme going. I never actually went there when it was open, but obviously they made a big effort to reach out to young people with science and math. I don't know. You know, this market is definitely tending towards older people.
Yes.
But at the same time, I think that the timing of the whole COVID thing was really a disaster.
It was a disaster
for them. So
I don't even know if they actually opened.
Yeah, I think they were open for a while, but I don't know. Never went there.
Yeah.
We had the idea for Wellness Connections. I think I look back at my notes, it was like 2017 when we first had the idea. And then we got serious about looking for a location in 2019, and we found the spot. I guess it would have been, let's see, October, like a year and a half ago. And my wife discovered the spot and found out that they were closing, and she initiated the whole thing, and one thing led to another, and by we started negotiating in October, and by March we had secured the spot. And and then of course, like I told you, we had another business in Rehoboth, and so by March we had had the lease under contract. But then I think it was April 30th or May 1st, there was a disastrous fire in Rehoboth Beach at a restaurant called Shrimpy's, which is on Rehoboth Avenue near Route 1, out near Casa de Leo and the YMCA, and that shopping center there called Henlopen Station. And totally devastating fire for Shrimpy's. It also burned down China Walk Restaurant. And we have had a business there since, I guess, for more than probably like 12 years. We've had that location.
That was the juice bar.
Juice Fresh.
Juice
Fresh. Right. And it was originally, before Juice Fresh, it was called Yoga Fresh. It was a frozen yogurt business. It was our third location of a chain, small chain of frozen yogurt stores. And we pivoted in 2013 from Yoga Fresh to Juice Fresh. And we had been there for a long, long time. And we intended to keep that location. However, you know, we were under construction at Coastal Plaza with the new business. We started construction in March. The fire happened in, yes, May 1st. And so we made some modifications to the building plan and decided just to go forward with relocating our commercial kitchen.
Yeah.
So we won't. I don't expect we'll be going back in that spot, even though we may put a Juice Fresh somewhere else.
Well, they are fixing it back up. I mean, they... So if anybody doesn't know, it's kind of the strip mall in front of, I think, Henlopen Junction. Actually, right. I lived when I first moved to Delaware, I lived in Henlopen Junction. So the place has been around since at least 94.
Yeah, it's been around for a while. And it was actually a pretty significant spot historically. I mean, it seems kind of the way they designed the shopping center to kind of look like a train station or whatever is a little bit...
is that what it's supposed to look
wasn't
like?
Wasn't that appealing in its original design. But however, that was an important junction point there. For the Breakwater Trail, which was originally a train.
Henlopen Junction.
Yeah, Henlopen yeah. Station.
Well, and, you know, I mean, if anybody's been around since then, I mean, a lot of things have changed. That was actually, there was a Shore Stop right there on the corner because I actually worked at it.
So, oh, you did?
Yeah, I worked there. I used to work the graveyard shift. It was brutal. That's why I got sober, actually. Wow. That's the low point of my life.
That's where it started.
That's where sobriety began right there.
That is awesome.
But, you know, I love, you know, it's quaint and... And, you know, in 94, this town, you know, it seems like I talked to so many people about the changes that have gone on in Rehoboth. But, you know, in 94, this town, quaint, but it was lacking a few things. So I feel like we actually have come quite a ways. But I tell you what, driving down that avenue in 94 and driving down that avenue in 2022, it feels the same. I feel like it feels the same here. We have more stuff, but it still has the same quaint sort of feeling as Rehoboth always had.
When we first came here, I have four sons, but my youngest son was still at home, and we would spend the summers here. We had a business in Ocean City, and we had a business here and went up in Baltimore, but we'd spend the summers here, either in Ocean City or Fenwick or Rehoboth. And one August came, and my wife looked at me, and she's like, why are we going back, you right. know? And at that point, really early on, we were closing our business in the off season. But then she was like, why don't we stay? And I asked my son, he was in middle school at the time, I was like, you want to stay? And he's like, yeah, let's stay. So we stayed, which a lot of people kind of transition to this area.
Well, and I've known many people over the years. I mean, in 94, you had a business for the summer. There was really no one was really trying to rely on winter people living here in the winter to support a small business. And now I think we've gotten to a point, you know, I think you and many other people decided, hey, let's stay. And now we are starting to have, and it's been a bit, you know, it's been a while since we can support business year round, but there was a time we couldn't. And now we're having this obviously influx of people and, you know, now we can support a business like a Wellness Connection all year because more people live here year round.
Yeah,
even though a lot of people are moving here that are still not living here year round, because we're building a new house, and I don't think we have one neighbor that's there full time year round. Eventually, they hope to.
Yeah, it's super interesting how the dynamic works with seasonal people. You have, you know, there's a super affluent that we've seen emerge in the last 5 or 6 years that actually have so many properties and so many places all over the world where they live, they can't even come here anymore. And this used to be like their main spot, but now they're going to Europe or they're going to Telluride or wherever they go, and they can barely even use all their houses that some of these people have. It's pretty phenomenal. But then you have a lot of regular people that are moving here and retiring. We saw a major shift after Hurricane Sandy. People had to try Delaware because a lot of the New Jersey beaches were closed.
Right.
And then some of their parents were already down here, and we saw those people come and try it out for 1 or 2 summers, and a lot of them have continued to come back. And it's a slightly different demographic than what we had before, and Delaware's definitely taken hold, and you can just look at the traffic on the highway here where our new location is, and you can see that it's now virtually year-round.
Well, we have eastbound traffic. We've always had eastbound traffic. Definitely, you know, the weekends, we know that there's traffic going into Rehoboth. But now we sort of have a northbound traffic thing that started happening that kind of happens every day. And I'm like, what? This is new. I mean, we just kind of went through, and this is a great transition into kind of what you're doing because, you know, COVID was an interesting little event that we had for the last couple of years, and it really exposed, one, we have a lot of people that are moving here, and two, you know, in general, I think COVID made us take a real hard look at our own health. And, you know, we started seeing people doing a little more exercising, a little more biking. All of a sudden, it found out that, hey, you know, you could get COVID, but if you are healthy, maybe you'll have a better chance. And I know, at least for me, I've always been somewhat healthy. I mean, I try to run and stuff, but I know that when this hit, I felt even better because I have been exercising. Like, all of a sudden, I was above everybody else. I had to kind of check myself. but, you know, and then once it all wore off, we had to start trying to address how well do we take care of ourselves. And I think that's one of the great things that you're offering is a whole litany of stuff, you know, from stretching, sauna, I mean, the juice bar. When I stopped in there and you shared one of your juices, I had no idea that you guys were making your own juice. And I thought it was a great little thing that you told me that it takes 2 to 5 pounds. Was it 3 to 5 pounds?
3 to 5 pounds.
3 to 5 pounds of vegetables to make one bottle of juice.
Yeah, one organic raw.
Meaning juice. That I'm ingesting 3 to 5 pounds of vegetables in one bottle of juice.
And people just won't eat that. Just won't eat that, but they'll drink it.
They'll drink it.
We'll drink it, and it's easy.
And it was delicious. So let's talk about the juice. You know, we got a few things to talk about, but I think the juice thing for me was the most fascinating because not only do you sell the juice, you make the juice. You make it on a certain day. It's like this whole process. Is it a cold press?
Cold press.
What makes cold press better than hot press or regular press or whatever press?
Well, let me give you a little bit of the background
Please.
On the juicing before I get into the actual process of how we make it. You said you're a runner. I was a runner for years, and like I said, I have 4 sons, but one of my sons is an exceptional athlete, and he was actually Ironman champion for North America for 18 to 24.
That's a little thing.
And so he's a good runner, always has been, and he was visiting us. And at this time, we had this chain of frozen yogurt stores, and that industry was shifting to self-serve. Our stores were like boutique, higher-end, like a Pinkberry or Orange Mango in New York. And yogurt was becoming like an interactive thing for kids to pull the machine and make their own yogurt and put the gummy bears and all that on it. So it was a big trend. It was sweeping the country. I think 1,800 stores opened or something within a year or two.
I love that sugar-free yogurt with tons of sugar.
Yeah, exactly. We were doing a natural probiotic yogurt that was not powder and water. So we were looking at our business, and I was like, okay, what are we going to do with this? Because we're being overrun by a whole different strategy. And my son was visiting us, and he's a runner, but he's also an investment banker, and he has a lot of thoughts and ideas about business, but he said, let's make some juice. So we looked up in the cabinet. Everybody's got a juicer in their garage or in a cabinet that they used for a week, and it's next to the turkey roaster, and it's stored away in the attic where they can't find it because everybody gets tired of making their own juice, and we had one of those too. So we got it out and started making some juice, and at the time my wife was having pretty severe asthma, and so severe we weren't really sure what to do. I mean, it was getting worse and worse, you know, and you can only take so much medicine.
Yeah.
So he encouraged us to make some juice. We made some juice. My youngest son at the time, he was like 8, and he liked it. And so I made it in the morning. I cleaned all the mess up, and everybody drank it. And I made it at night, and I cleaned all the mess up, and everybody drank it. And I did that for a couple of days, and my wife said, hey, my asthma's feeling better. And I was like, really? She said, I think the inflammation's going down.
You're like,
so,
oh, great.
Yeah, I made juice like 3 or 4 days in a row. It was becoming like a part-time job. And she was like, this is definitely helping me. I'm definitely reducing my inflammation. I'm definitely getting my asthma is going way down better than it ever has. So I was like, great. I got a new job. I'll make juice all the time. So I go to the store, buy everything, bring it home, wash all the organic produce.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
So, because I think, like you mentioned, we've all made our juice, right? So there is the juicer.
Right.
And then there is the Vitamix.
Yeah.
So I make Vitamix.
Right,
juice.
Right.
So, which is basically, I just destroy everything inside some juice, and then I just pound it. It's still good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's three basic ways you can do this. You can make what I would call a smoothie, where you're putting everything in the blender, everything stays in the blender, and you drink it all. And that's what you're doing with the Vitamix. That's awesome. That's a whole food.
See, I think of a smoothie, and we won't spend a lot of time debating this, but I feel like a smoothie has, like, yogurt.
Right.
It's more creamy. It has, you know, and then, so you have the smoothie.
Right.
Which is a ton of calories, by the way. Don't fool yourself.
Can be.
Smoothie people. And then you have, like, juice that I make, which is no,
all vegetables.
All vegetables.
But my point is you're putting it all in, and it's all staying in.
Right, right.
You're not extracting anything. You're getting all the fiber and everything. And that can be good to a point, but you can only consume so much of that, and you're not getting the concentration. But it is a good thing. That's a great thing to do. You also have centrifugal juicing. This is a juicer you would buy at Bed Bath & Beyond or Home Goods or whatever.
Quick, simple question, though. Does the blender destroy the plant in such a way that it hurts? Is it still?
I don't believe so.
Okay, good. Because I've heard people say, oh, you're destroying the plant cells making a real mess. And I'm like, well, what does it matter? It's all going in.
I don't think a blender blade goes at the cellular level.
Oh, good. But, that's good news. I'm sure people were very concerned about this.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Then you've got your juicer, a centrifugal juicer.
Okay.
Where you're shoving apples in the top or oranges in the top, and it's spinning it around, and it's shooting some stuff out the back, and it's shooting the juice out the front, and you're putting it in a cup. That's also great. We actually started our business with 3 stores doing that. And
the centrifugal?
Centrifugal juicing, and I realized that I ran centrifugal juice bars for like a month in our frozen yogurt stores to try to figure out what we were going to do, and I realized that we would have to make a juice every 4 minutes. It was basically going to have to be like a Starbucks-level traffic. And we didn't have Starbucks-level real estate, and we weren't set up for that. And even though it was nice and all, I realized, hey, we'll have to move. We'll have to have new stores. We'll have to have, you know, $5,000 a month rent, and we're going to have to be in cities, and we could build a centrifugal juice business. Then we discovered cold pressing. We traveled around. My wife and I went to every juice bar from New York to D.C., and we checked them all out. We tried all their products. We discovered cold pressing, and that's a process where you're extracting the juice.
Right.
And you're setting aside all the leftover items, but you're just getting the maximum amount of nutrient. It's super nutrient-dense calorie, and you're getting all the live enzymes, and you're getting all the power basically out of that fruit and vegetable, and you can consume a lot more relatively speaking.
So what sort of waste comparative to centrifugal as to cold press? Because my mother-in-law gave me a juicer, you know, she's like, hey, you know, my juicer, of course, I think we all end up doing that. And one thing I noticed with that thing is you end up with a lot of stuff. Like you need a compost pile or something.
Absolutely.
Or some way to
we generate 1,000 pounds of compost every time we make juice. It's a big deal. And you're going to get about the same compost from a centrifugal juicer that you get from a cold press machine.
Okay.
But the difference is the stability of the juice. And this is the breakthrough for us. This was a breakthrough for us in 2013 when we discovered cold pressing. We're like, wait, we can make the juice and someone can drink it tomorrow, or they can drink it the next day, or they can take it home, or we can ship it to them. Hmm. We can ship it to 21 states like we do today, and it'll show up fresh, and it has a 6-day shelf life. So now it's raw, it's unpasteurized, so you have all the benefits and all the live enzymes and all the nutrients from an unpasteurized juice, which you don't get from a pasteurized or pascalized or high-pressure pascalization, which is a bariatric pressure system of 40,000 pounds per square inch that neutralizes the enzymes, so the stuff stops breaking down. And this is what you see in the grocery store. Our product can only be sold direct to consumers. We cannot wholesale it.
Right.
Raw and pasteurized juice is regulated by the FDA. We're registered and inspected by the FDA, and we're allowed to sell directly to consumers, but we can't wholesale it. We couldn't sell it to a restaurant or sell it to a gym. Now, we have a system where we put coolers in places, and we fill the coolers like a vending machine, and we maintain it, and people buy directly from us at these locations, restaurants or gyms and places like that.
That's cool. Do you have one at Rise?
No, we don't have any here.
Oh.
It's all out of town. But we may.
Okay.
We may put some here.
I know some gym people.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Maybe we can
work it out.
Yeah.
So the big difference between centrifugal, which is awesome, and cold press is the stability. And it, of course, bigger equipment and knowing what you're doing and having ultra fresh, you know, organic raw product. But when you make a centrifugal juice, you really need to drink it in the next hour or so. If you'll notice, it starts to break down. You could theoretically put it in a mason jar, put it in your refrigerator, keep it cold, and it's going to be probably okay for a couple of days.
But I think we're all familiar with different juices. I mean, you can go, and I think as soon as you find a juice at the grocery store, we know that it's at a different level of scrutiny, right? Because it's got to be able to last. I don't know what the shelf life is of a juice at a grocery store is, but
that's 40 days.
So 40 days. So immediately we know that there's a lot more process in that. But, you know, I think anybody that's into juicing, recognizes when it separates and you have to shake it. I kind of think that's kind of cool.
Right.
I look at the debris at the bottom. I'm like, what do we got here? All right, shake it up. Let's see.
Right.
So is that the stability?
Not necessarily.
Can you explain that? I don't even.
I think if you took a centrifugal juice and put it in a cup, and put it in your fridge, and took a cold press juice, put it in a bottle with a cap on it, sealed, deprived it of the oxygen, and compared the two a couple days later, I think you would taste the difference, see the difference. Pretty obvious.
More sediment? I don't know. What would it
just starts to degrade faster.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Just degrades faster.
So cold press is better, better drinking sooner.
It's everything. It's more stable.
Right.
You know? And being stable allows you to reach people and allows people to have it on their schedule.
What is the process of making a cold press? Because obviously the centrifugal, it spins. It sort of chops it, grades it a little bit, separates it a bit. I mean, you're obviously left with the what's left over. How does cold press work? Is it pressed? I mean,
yeah, it's
squashed?
It is a huge machine.
Okay.
Now, you can buy a small one. We started off with a small one. I think our first machine that we bought was like, we bought a used machine on Craigslist from a lady. I'll never forget. We went to see her. She was a cancer patient, and she was using a process called a Gerson therapy, which is a really popular cancer therapy. There's a clinic. I think it's just over the border in Mexico. A doctor named Max Gerson developed this therapy, a cancer therapy based on nutrition. It's been very successful. We have a lot of people that will do that, and juice is a big part of the Gerson therapy. But we met this lady on Craigslist. We went to her house. She showed us how she used the machine. I think it was maybe $3,000 for a tabletop machine or something like that. We bought it, brought it home. We made our first juices on that. But now, of course, we run a bigger commercial.
Do you guys do, I mean, this might be silly, but have you figured out how to use that the material that's left over to make a compost? Can you sell that? It sounds like it'd be a pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And currently it's used for animal feed.
Okay.
And we have made a few products out of it. We made a really cool dehydrated cracker from the compost.
Oh, wow.
But it was just like, you know, the crackers would have been, you know, by the time we got formed them and shaped them and dehydrated them and all, it was like, wow, they were awesome. But it was was like, these crackers are going to be $5 a piece. Right. So we'd have to figure some way to make them in volume, you know, run them through a huge Nabisco factory or something to get them down to a reasonable price. But it was interesting. We're constantly looking at things. Our compost now is picked up and goes to animal feed. And what's interesting is the farmers that do this or the livestock people, they say they get food from other places too, restaurants and things like that.
Breweries too.
Yeah, and they say that the animals dig through everything to try to get to the fresh fruit and vegetables, which is interesting. But we are developing a business model. It's actually named after my mom. It's called Charlotte's Organics, and we're going to develop a line of consumer direct compost made from this. We're working on that. Sounds so a little like bit, the perms and worms thing may be coming back to Coastal Plaza because we may have to have some worms in the compost. But that is part of our plan because it's a big resource. But it's, you know, anybody in the food service business will tell you food waste is a huge problem.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of people that's going to point it out. Right, it's just kind of this where we live.
Oh, everybody!
What are you doing with all that? You
know, everybody asks about it.
Right.
You know, it's interesting. There's two things everybody asks about, especially when they come visit us. If they go get a tour of the kitchen or what, they ask, "What do you do with the compost?" And they ask about water. And I used to find it really interesting how everybody asked about water because we sell water machines.
Yeah.
We sell air machines, and we sell a water machine that charges alkalinity into the water, which is super popular for people to get the pH right.
Do you use that water that you sell in the juice?
Everything that comes in our building is filtered. We have a double filter system in the building, but the juice doesn't have any water in it. We don't add any water to the juice.
That's just all...
You're actually allowed to add water to it. You know, the FDA, when they've inspected us... multiple times they've told us that we can add up to like 1 ounce if we don't do it.
Actually,
and it just seems kind of a bogus thing to do, but it would actually increase our profits by 10% if we add an ounce of water, but we don't do it. We go all juice.
I don't know why I even asked you that, because why would you add juice? I mean, water to juice. I forgot.
I think that's how the whole juice industry works.
Oh, is that how it works?
If you go to the orange juice plant, I think you'll find it works from concentrate. Everything runs from concentrate. They bring concentrated, you know, orange juice from South America, and then they add water back to it.
That's when I was a kid, we used to get that, you know, the can of orange juice and put it under the faucet and then thunk.
You were better than we were. We had Tang.
That's what the astronauts used.
Space food sticks, delicious. Tang, all the great space generation of food.
Well, so you're doing juice. What do you want? You're doing so much. What do you want to talk about?
I think to get back to the COVID thing, of course, when we started this idea for Wellness Connections, COVID was, you know, a distant thing because it was a couple years before that even happened. And then COVID hit kind of at its peak when we were right in the middle of negotiating for this new bricks and mortar retail concept. Even though we do sell online at our website, wellnessconnections.net, and we sell online juicefresh.net, this was going to be a bricks and mortar business because people's bodies are kind of bricks and mortar. Their body is a physical thing. Even though you can do a Peloton at home virtually, generally speaking, people's food consumption is not going to happen in the metaverse. People's workouts isn't going to happen in the metaverse. And people like to connect with people. So the idea behind Wellness Connections wasn't so much... there's three ideas behind it, what we call the three A's. Number one, are you aware? Are you aware of yourself? Are you aware of your weight? Are you aware of your blood pressure? Are you aware of your age, your physical condition? Do you even think about it? You know, or are you completely out of touch with where you're at? So the first step is awareness. The second step is access. You know, and you hear things like food deserts, and if you go to these urban areas, all there is a Royal Farms fried chicken. I mean, that's it. That's your food supply. And then it gets closed, and there's nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, in these neighborhoods in Baltimore and stuff, it's scary.
Yeah.
But do you have access to anything good? And do you even know how to shop in a grocery store? Do you realize that around the perimeter of the grocery store, they make very little money? And there's a lot of labor involved. If you walk the perimeter of a grocery store, you're going to see people working. And you see a lot of effort in the seafood market and a lot of effort in the produce area. But if you go down the aisles in the grocery store, you're not going to see anybody working. And all you're going to see is products that have preservatives, hydrogen-aged vegetable oil, high fructose corn syrup. It's in every living thing in those aisleways. And that is going to make you overweight. It's going to cause you health issues. And this is how money's made in the food industry. It's not made up at the front with a guy who's 50 years old, who's got full benefits, who's been over a rack of apples, and he's sorting the apples. This is just to get you in, and but they really want you to buy the soft drinks and the chips and the things that have all these preservatives in them, because if it's shelf stable, they can make a lot of money. If it's if it's going to deteriorate, like seafood or fruits and vegetables, it's going to break down. So
then you have to throw it away,
right?
And that's a loss.
It's a lot. So you've got this. Are you aware of yourself? Do you have access to anything good? And do you even know where it is? But the most important part about wellness connections is this connection with accountability. The third A is accountability. Nobody really wants to be accountable. Right. We want our, you know, personal trainer to be accountable. If we have our own personal trainer who comes to our house and trains us, we want it to be his problem or her problem to take care of us. We want our doctor to be accountable. We want the National Institute of Health and the Center for Disease Control to be accountable for our safety. We do not want to be accountable for anything, because when we are accountable, then that's hard for us to be, because we're going to fail. Everybody's going to come up short. Yeah. You like to run, you're accountable for your running. You don't run, then you're guilty. Hey, you didn't run. It's your fault. You should feel bad about yourself. So accountability is a really hard part. And what we're trying to do is create a community and a place. We don't have everything. You know, we don't have a rock climbing wall. We don't have chiropractic. We don't even have massage. But we have acupuncture coming online. We have Pilates and bar classes. We have an intravenous vitamin injection lounge that'll be opening this summer. We have the assisted stretching. We have the juices and the raw foods. And we are really about community. We really want you to bring your friend. We really want you to tell somebody else and connect with yourself and connect with others and create a place where people can come and feel like they're part of an effort. And if they really don't know where to go or where to start and they're confused about these three A's, they can just come in and talk to us.
Well, that's what I did. And you guys were awesome. Sat down, chatted. I mean, it was great. You know, I love the stretching. You know, I think that, you know, we have like running, we got working out, we got all these great things, we got Pilates, we got yoga, which can all be intimidating. I mean, listen, it's, you know, I've done some classes, it's great, but, you know, sometimes it becomes, you know, an inconvenience, right? You were already busy, and so to go do a yoga class and you know, when I start cutting things out, it's usually that. It's the yoga class. It's the gym. But stretching, you know, could someone come in and be educated in stretching and then practice some of these principles at their own home?
Absolutely. The thing about the stretching is, and this we just launched recently, the you know, practitioner-assisted stretching. We have our new, our first full-time assisted stretch associate, Caitlin Thune. She's got a great background, a tremendous amount of experience. We're very fortunate and thankful to have her on the team. And we expect to be adding three or four total stretch people. And then the bar and Pilates classes also. We have a hybrid model where you can purchase a la carte items or you can become a member. We have a members lounge where people that are members can enjoy their refreshment after their workout. Like 90% of people after a workout, they are seeking refreshment because they have to renew their strength. Yeah. And the idea, instead of running out to a very popular local coffee chain and getting their healthy green tea frappuccino, which has 16 teaspoons of sugar, they can stay.
That's it.
Have a raw, vegan, organic, paleo snack that we make right there, like a chocolate protein bite with no chocolate or a goji berry bite with no sugar, and have a juice and have an alkaline water and renew their strength without ever leaving, and sit there and connect with somebody else and learn someone else's story or bring their friends, socialize, and so forth. But the assisted stretching, we try to find it. We weren't even sure what we were going to do when we first started the business idea. We didn't know if we were going to do yoga. We had a studio that was probably going to be yoga, but before we ever opened, we thought about it a lot. We prayed about it a lot. My wife and I were like, what should we do? And we discovered assisted stretching while we were traveling up in New York. And we're like, that's what we want to do right there. It's not massage. It's open. You're in an open studio. There's pictures on the website. There's five tables there. It's more aligned with the environment of physical therapy, but it is not physical therapy exactly. We don't have physical therapists, even though we have physical therapists who want to work with us, and we expect we'll be hiring them, but we're not offering that exact service.
Well, I can tell you just a little quick story. You know, I'm, and we've mentioned 90,000 times that I'm a runner, which I'm very amateur. I just get out, right? It's just about spending. I call it suffering. I like to suffer a bit, and then I feel like I can take on the day. But, you know, I learned a lot. And as a 53-year-old guy, you know, stretching has become a big part of my life. And I can do the same thing every day, and then all of a sudden I start getting this, like, knee pain.
Right.
And that's kind of what I went through. And I'm like, oh, well, this is expected, right? Because I'm running, right? Because as soon as you're running, automatically you are destined to ruin your knees, ruin your ankles, ruin your hips. I mean, that's what – well, I don't run. I don't want to ruin my ankles, knees, and hips. And what I found is, and especially like if I sit down and put like the bottoms of my feet together, I don't know what the name of the stretch is. I'm sure somebody does. But and let my knees just kind of fall open, it really stretches the inside of my legs. And I don't know the names of these tendons or muscles. I just know what's happening. You know, if I took this front door and I hung on it, right, and you kept opening the door while I'm hanging on it, what's going to happen? The hinge starts to be affected, and it's that one-sided pull. And what I was finding is that I wasn't really paying attention to the ligaments and tendons, and they were getting very tight. You know, I think as people, as humans, as we get older, we just want to almost curl up into a ball. Right, with arthritis and tightness, and I started to get this pain in my knee, and I'm like, I don't really understand what's going on, and it was because I wasn't stretching. So I started to stretch. I started to get this little routine: a few push-ups before bed, some stretching, really doing my neck, and the pain started to go away in my knee. So what was happening, just through nature, I was tightening up, and I wasn't paying attention. So I think it's. You know, I see all the time people, oh, I'm getting my knee replaced, my hip. I mean, if we're just living life, I don't particularly think that we should have to have our hips and knees replaced. I think there are things that we can do. Like my father, not a hip or knee problem in his life. He's 84, doesn't have a cane or anything. He's perfectly fine. He's never been a big runner, but, you know, it does. I don't think it's our destiny. And I think if there are things that we can do, especially if we can get educated. If a person probably comes in, you know, great room. I posted some pictures on our Instagram of the stretching room. Great room. You know, I think if someone came in and just got a little education on what's going on in this body of ours and what's pulling where and what's holding what back and start to understand that, you know, if I'm tight here, my knee's going to bend differently. And that's kind of the example I use of like hanging on a door.
Absolutely.
Very tight, pulls to the left, knees bending differently, starts to ache. And I'm like, oh, no, now I need a knee replacement. My knee's going bad. No, I just haven't stretched.
I think it was, I may not be accurate on this historically, but I think it was like a quiz of the Sphinx when he said what walks on four legs in the morning, two legs in the afternoon, and three legs in the evening. And the answer was, you know, a human being. They crawl, then they walk, and then they have a cane.
Right.
And a huge part of these knee injuries is, you know, the stretching is a part of it, not being fit is a part of it, but also being overweight is a part of it. And it's a huge part. Imagine that you weigh 150 pounds, or maybe you're a woman that weighs 150 pounds, and you have a knee injury. I just ran into a lady at the grocery store 2 days ago. She's one of our customers. She was in a car accident. She injured her knee, and now she was and she's having surgery and all that. And now she's complaining about her other knee. I said, "Well, if you weigh 150 pounds, and you injure your right knee, now you're favoring your left leg all the time. You're putting all your weight on your left leg. Now this is equivalent on your left leg with a 300 pound person. Now you're not set up to carry that weight, and so." The biggest part, I think, is the food system that we have is designed. All the profit in the food industry comes from the inputs that you don't want. You know, they take a great product, a great coffee cake or a great cinnamon bun or whatever, and they inject some profit in that thing. And if you look at the ingredient label on any food, you're going to find some stuff that you really don't want. And the better the company is, I mean, I think the whole entire food industry, I've got a graph in my office, it's controlled like by seven major corporations. I mean, it's amazing how many companies are owned by PepsiCo and Coca-Cola and Nestle, and it just these people, they own, you know, 100 companies, 100 brands.
But can't blame them.
Can't blame them because we buy it, you know, along those lines.
For a second, like we're blaming them.
Can't blame them.
How come we can be fat and everybody feels bad? Oh,
right.
So fat. But if I was drinking... like I was eating, everyone would be like, you're a drunk.
Yeah, but you can't blame the liquor company if you're if you're drinking like
no,
that.
No, but you can't tell. You can tell somebody, hey, you drink too much.
Right.
You're an idiot. You know, pull it together. Right. But you can't tell somebody that eats too much.
Right.
You eat too much. You're an idiot.
I right.
mean, people get their feelings show up when it comes to weight. We feel bad for them. They feel bad for themselves.
There's been
it's
a big
so
shift.
Sensitive. It's political
correctness and like the idea of body positivity. I
right.
feel like kind of
it's bullshit.
Goes.
Personally, I personally
I
think
agree.
It's absolute bullshit.
So I had somebody come to me one time, and they were talking about small businesses in their town, and they were complaining about the type of small businesses that were in their town, and specifically, they were complaining about. This Asian massage business, right? They were like, "I've got their business was next to this," and they were like, "I don't like this business." And then, and I said, "Well, what about the liquor?"
Wasn't there an Asian massage by your fruit juice?
There's
place?
Been several in that in those shopping centers. There's been several in these shopping centers.
Get
right?
loose so, and get a juice.
So, yeah, so it came up in the conversation, and he said, and we talked about liquor stores, we talked about pawn shops, we talked about Asian massage. I said, "Okay, these are businesses that are in every community." I said. Now, if we stop trading with these people, not to take any business away from anybody, but if you stop, if nobody in your town bought any alcohol,
right.
there wouldn't be any liquor stores. I don't think, you know, when you go to Salt Lake City, if you go to certain communities, like it or not, there isn't going to be any liquor stores there because nobody's drinking. Right. So we create these environments ourselves. And this is what's so important about what you're doing for small businesses is our towns are a reflection of our values. The business that thrive there, you know, one of the reasons our business is thrive because the people support it because they want it and they want it in their town and they want us to do well. And the businesses that they don't want, that they feel like are a drag on the economy, that are what technically from an economic standpoint are called rent-seeking business models. These are things that extract value. They don't bring value. They don't make your town better. They make it worse. If you effectively stop trading with these people, they're going to go away.
Right.
You know, and your town's going to get better and better based on what you do. And people don't realize, I mean, I've been a retailer. I'm 61. I started my first business when I was 16. That was a retail store. People don't realize when someone gives you $100 and you're a retailer, and if they give it to you on a regular basis, that can be the difference between that store opening or closing.
Yeah.
And just one customer. I mean, I think back the first year I started a clothing company. I was in the clothing and textile business for 20, 30 years and built a chain of stores, had, 100 employees. But I can remember the first year we did $40,000 in revenue the first year. So somebody giving me $100 might have been just from being able to pay the rent or not. I mean, later on we did $40,000 a day. But at the beginning, one person coming in and buying a necktie could have been the difference between us letting an employee go or paying the rent. People don't know the huge impact their decisions have. And when they trade with national companies, the money gets extracted out of the community. And it's hard because a lot of national companies are really, really good at what they do. I mean, obviously, Starbucks is great at doing coffee. McDonald's is great at doing hamburgers. These companies dominate their space, and there's no denying that they're there and they're successful. But people need to think twice when they're trading about how to make your town better. And the littlest thing you do can make a huge difference.
Well, I mean, obviously, COVID changed a lot of things. I mean, what was life before COVID was a lot different. I mean, we had tons of small business selling everything from, you know, designer dog biscuits to, you know, banana hats. I don't know. Whatever the hell, somebody comes up with a great idea and they open a business. We had COVID and we realized, what is it that I actually need? And I think two things started to transition. One of them is it wasn't hard to find somebody pointing out that we're unhealthy.
Right.
You know, we didn't want to say it, but really what we had was a lot of folks that were unhealthy. And, you know, in the end it was like, what's your comorbidity? You know, it was like this whole, like, attack of, like, people that didn't have health in their corner, right? And, you know, and if you weren't healthy, I think you started to address it. Not you, but people. You know, I know when COVID started, I was running, and I've been running that trail for years. And all of a sudden, I started seeing people walking, right, out on their bikes. It really started to energize, you know, people starting to think about their health. And listen, I'm not fat, but I have moments where I feel fat. I have moments where I veer off the path a bit. And, you know, I know how to get back to it. But there are people out there that haven't addressed it at all. And this started happening, and we started to see people that started to take a look at it. And you see people really starting to make a change in their life. And then there are people like, you know, with Wellness Connection, that maybe they can, you know, if a person hasn't been exercising at all, and then they start to feel like, oh, my knee's starting to hurt, you know, it's back to stretching. You know, these simple, basic things. Listen, your knee starts hurting, that could cancel you doing any exercises for the rest of your life.
Right.
Because, you know, left up to me, I will create a scenario and a story in my head that basically eliminates me from doing that anymore. That's what myself likes to do. Ah, you probably shouldn't walk. That knee, probably should stay home. You know, self doesn't want me out exercising. Self's like, dude,
stay.
Right. Humility's like, come on, let's just get out and get some air. Self's like, nah, that knee. So, you know, if you can be, if a person that's just coming into this exercise world, because, you know, if you haven't been doing much, you're not going to go do some one of these big, you know, programs where you're lifting a lot of weights and you're getting excited, because you're going to get intimidated right out of there. It may be more of a private thing. Listen, I'm going to just get up and I'm going to go just simple walk.
Right. And it starts with that first step.
It starts with that first step. And if there's people like you with a business that says, listen, hey, you might start hurting a little bit. Come in. Let me show you just what's holding what together. Let's stretch it out. You know, just that butterfly stretch really adjusted my knees.
Right.
And that was it was crazy because, you know, I was like, oh, my knee's going. That's it. I'm done.
Right, you're done.
And I really, and then when I sat down to do the stretch, I was like, ugh. Like they just were like at this, I don't know what degree angle it is, but it wasn't much. And that over time, over a couple of days, I started stretching and relaxing, really focusing and clearing my mind and letting my body loosen up. And all of a sudden your knees, you know, now my knees touch the ground. And listen, if that's tight and that's not opening, that cannot be good for the hinges in the body.
Right.
So I think what you're offering, I think for the amateur, for the rookie, for the newcomer to sports or to just trying to take care of themselves. You know, I know when I stopped in there, you know, you started to kind of educate me just on the little things. I didn't have to come in as like an Olympian.
Right.
Just a simple starter.
Right.
And, you know, let's start with our nutrition, right? I remember my buddy Matt. I don't know if you knew Matt Haley, but when, you know, him and I were both sober and we would say, you know, when a person would come in, it's like, drink some water.
Drink some water.
Drink some good, eat some clean food.
Drink some
and
water.
Go for a walk. Yeah. And just those three things, the trifecta, clean food, some water, and a nice walk with air.
It's huge.
All of a sudden, your spirit is like, okay, maybe
it's
I can
huge.
Do this. Huge.
And that's real.
It's real.
Now, at the other
end, that's free.
And that's free.
That's free.
Theoretically, that's free, even though the water reports are not looking so great. But theoretically, yeah, the sunshine
is
free.
Wellness and Connection water.
Yeah, we have
our
alkaline
water.
We have some pretty alkaline
water. That's some pretty delicious water.
Yeah, it was
by
good,
the way.
Wasn't it? You know, regarding COVID, and I'm not a big promoter of TV. We haven't had regular TV in our house for 15 years. We do watch movies and stuff, but we don't like having the TV on. We don't pay for regular TV. But I see TV sometimes at 6:30 at night somewhere. If I'm at a store or something's playing and the Wheel of Fortune is on and they have a drug commercial, right? And I see the side effects. They list them right there after the commercial. The guy's in the canoe. He's up on a mountaintop. He's got a beautiful wife. And now they're talking about possible instant death, possible blindness. You know, they're listing
diarrhea.
Diarrhea.
Colon.
You know,
rot.
Whatever. it's,
yeah, sign me up for a few of those pills. I'm ready.
So COVID was a wake-up call for a lot of people that, hey, something has gotten a little too far. And one of the things that you look for when you're starting a new business, and this is like my eighth new company in 40-some years, and I've had plenty of failures and plenty of successes and plenty of long, hard slogs in business. But when you start a new company, you're looking for product market fit. You want people to want what you have. You want it to resonate. And you don't really know until you open it up if it's going to resonate. You don't know if people are going to come and they're going to like it. And you got to have the customer side. But then you also have to have the staffing side. You have to have people that want to work for you. They want to be a part of it. And that part has been shocking.
Mm.
We can't believe the people that want to work for us because it's way out of our league. I mean, we're not opening a Christiana hospital here. We don't have a $1 billion trust or something or DuPont money where we're, you know, building a helicopter pad on the roof to do pediatric brain surgery. We're just a wellness center and organic spa. But the people are coming in to say, I want to work with you. I'm like, hey, you're 50 years old. You're picking your career. You make huge money. Yeah, but I want, you know, we have a doctor that's coming on. We have nurses registered nurses that have had ICU experience. They're coming on. Caitlin, who's doing the stretch, our newest person, great background, great education. People want to be a part of this because they're really kind of fed up and they're abandoning ship. They didn't like being forced to take a vaccination to keep their job. And people are really ready for something else. Do I think we have the answer? No. We don't have the answer to everything. We're doing a little thing. We're a small business in Lewis, Delaware. But I can tell you right now, people are in the hunt for something new and better.
Well, I think there is a thing to getting back to basics. And I think that when we start talking about doctors and all these things, we start to feel like, when I start to hear that, I'm like, well, I'm not in it enough to be involved in that sort of level. Like, I'm in the basic level. So it's easy to ease my way out of that. But I think the real message is let's get back to basics.
Right.
Let's get back to drinking a lot of water. Let's get back to drinking or eating some clean food. And let's get back to exercising. And it doesn't mean a triathlon.
Right.
You know, there is a journey. And it's not only physical, but it is spiritual.
Absolutely.
And it is very mental. And, you know, I used to say that, you know, when I started running, I was like, I want to run. And I was smoking. I was not drinking at the time. I was sober at the time, but I was smoking. And I would go run on a treadmill and then have a cigarette in my car. But I wanted it. I'm like, this is whatever it is. This is the step.
Whatever it is, right?
And to you or to you, Dempsey, it may have looked bad, but to me, it was the first step.
First step in the right direction.
And you start, and then all of a sudden you're like, maybe I'm not going to have the cigarette after the treadmill. Right. And then the next thing you know, I quit smoking. And then I start meeting people that are into the same thing. And then I start feeling better about myself as a person. Like, my shoulders pop back a little bit. My chest comes out a little bit. I'm not smoking. Now I'm sort of better than other people. You know, this is this nightmare that goes on in my head.
Right.
And then you start to go for a little run on the outside. I'm like, just let me get to the corner.
Right.
Small goals. You know, I think that's one of the things that a lot of people are guilty of. The goals are too high.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've goaled yourself right out of any sort of fun.
Because, you know, the fitness industry is a business. They want to sell you a big goal, sell you a big package. And, you know, we'll sell you a big package, but you don't have to. You can just come in. It's free. You can walk in the door, and we'll give you some alcohol.
But I think if people are starting to address some of this stuff, you know, keeping their goals small, making, you know, like I said, I just wanted to get to the corner. Finally, I ran to the corner. Then I walked another 4 miles. And then I ran to the second corner, and I walked the rest of it. And then eventually I'm running miles, and then I'm running 5 miles. But during the run, I could, the mental part, you know, I'm assassinating people. I'm tearing people apart. I'm attacking people, whether I'm jealous or I'm envious of or whatever it is, I'm slaying them, right? And then on fourth mile, I'm like, I'm sorry, get up, I apologize, I slayed you.
Right.
I'm going through this whole shit that's all backed up in my head.
Absolutely.
You know, and then at the end of the run, I'm full of gratitude, and the sun's shining a little brighter, and my arms are feeling, I remember my shoulders feel a little back, and my chest is out, and I just feel better.
Right.
And sometimes you just finish, and you know, tears start to pour out of your eyes because you've been holding all of this self-centered bullshit in, and like I say, nothing like living when you're suffering.
Absolutely. If you read our website, we tell our little story. And one of the things we really focus on is this is not about denying yourself. This is not about no pain, no gain, okay? Because that is really hard for people.
That's bullshit.
And it's hard to maintain. But here it's about replacing, okay? Just like the replacing a high sugar, high fructose drink with some water. Just replace it. Don't deny yourself and say, I'm not going to have anything to drink or I'm not going to have anything to eat. But if you, here's the problem we get into. We deny ourselves. We go on a diet and we deny ourselves and quote unquote, we're good all week. I was really good this week. Now I'm going to go have a custard and something else and walk on the boardwalk and act like I'm 16 years old and eat things that I shouldn't eat and drink things I shouldn't drink because I'm rewarding myself for my good behavior for the past week. Well, that's a cycle that's not going to take you anywhere. We say reward yourself every single meal. Reward yourself every time you eat, every time you drink. Give yourself awesomeness. If you don't know where the awesomeness is, you got to find it because Wall Street doesn't want you to have it. They want you to go straight from the Mountain Dew to the urgent care. That's how they make money. They make money on these programs.
There's a lot of businesses out there. I mean, you know, listen, if you're doing well and you're healthy, there's businesses that Wall Street's benefiting from as well. It's not. I don't believe that Wall Street's against us. I think our biggest enemy is ourselves.
Absolutely.
And until, you know, one of the biggest problems I think that people have is that they skip the work, and then they enjoy all the stuff that goes along with working out. Like, you know, a great example is like a Clif Bar. You know, right. Clif Bar is great if you climbed a mountain. But Clif Bar is not a great snack watching TV. But it's packaged healthy. It's got a little climber on it. It looks healthy. This is a better snack. But it's like 1,000 calories. It's designed for people climbing a mountain. Right?
Absolutely.
So it's trying to figure out, I feel like, just getting people out of their house. I feel like a healthy body, an exercise body, will find healthy in things that you would eat when you're in that state of mind.
It's definitely a mental journey, you know, and then it's a spiritual journey, and it's a physical journey.
Yeah.
And just being aware that nobody really has your best interests. You need to have your best interests.
I like that.
You need to take personal responsibility for what you eat and what you drink and what you do, and realize that it's not at your fingertips. What's at your fingertips is generally not going to be great, mm-hmm. because the profit models, you know, preserving something, putting it on a shelf, is a very profitable thing. When you can take a honey bun and put it up on a shelf and it can stay there for a month and look awesome, that's a very profitable business model. I have a friend of mine who has a wellness center, and she has a Happy Meal type thing or whatever, and it's 3 years old. It's still in a plastic box that she bought it at the store and put it on a shelf in her office, and it looks like the day she bought it.
Yeah.
I can tell you that our stuff breaks down, you know.
Because we should not be comparing your stuff to a honey bun.
Well,
Dave, stop. I mean, you're making the amazing cold-pressed juices. It's delicious. We know the honey bun has a role in this. Yeah,
honey bun has a role.
Listen, I'm a health guy, but I'll have a honey bun.
I'll have a honey bun, too.
I'm hating on a honey bun. That's why we take care of ourselves.
Absolutely.
I do appreciate a little reward. You know, doesn't maybe need to be the honey bun, but...
Well, what you want is the honey bun in moderation with no preservatives. Mm. Men don't realize that these preservatives don't escape their body. They're destined for the prostate.
Yeah.
And that ain't going anywhere after that. And so,
prostate.
You know, have the honey bun, but get it with no preservatives. You know, that's what you're looking for.
Can we talk about all the amazing stuff you guys provided?
Yeah, let's hit it. That's it.
Wellness Connection.
That's it. Wellness Connections.
Dempsey, go get us some honey buns.
I can't believe I didn't bring juice this morning. I was so stupid. What am I thinking? I'm so disappointed.
Go get some
myself.
Honey buns, Dempsey.
I can't believe
hold
I didn't
Dave
bring you guys
down.
Juices.
We're giving him a honey bun.
I'm going there, and I'm getting juices. I'm coming back.
No, you're not.
Oh, yeah, I am. I am. I'm coming back.
Dempsey, can we get a jalapeno in one of those juices?
Hey, that's a good idea. You know, you should work. You should be like a chef consultant for us. Jalapenos in the juice.
Somalia. Well, that green juice that you make was delicious, but it just missed. I loved that jalapeno at the end.
A little spice.
Oh, so good.
Now, our green greatness juice, which is interesting because it has almost no fruit in it, has a tiny hint of lemon. That's the only thing. That's collard greens, bok choy, kale, cucumbers. This is a green juice. And a lot of people, it's too strong for them, but that's our number one selling juice by far.
Which one, the green one I had?
The green greatness.
Yeah.
Because people, even though people are scared of it, when you are at a farmer's market or something, or you're sampling out at an event, they're like, oh my gosh, I would never drink that. It's our number one selling juice because people buy our juice as a chlorophyll delivery system. They're trying to get the sunshine into their body. And this is how you do it.
Well, listen, if I'm watching TV and I'm in that I'm not doing much lifestyle mode, that's not the juice for me. But when I go for a nice run and I'm feeling good, that's what I seek out because it's a state of mind. You know, if you're running 5 miles, you're not looking for a Mountain Dew. I need a nice, because honestly, I don't want to be gross, but usually I have one of those and then we have a nice,
cleansing experience.
It's like, oh, I don't,
there you go.
Yeah, I don't want to drink one at the farmer's market. We got to go. Let's go. Let's roll out of here.
Got to get out of the farmer's
gotta
market.
Go.
Alert.
All right. So you gave me this piece of paper. I'm just going to go through it. And then, so acupuncture, that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
It hasn't started yet. Has
ancient. It?
It works.
I expect in 2 or 3 weeks. We
two
are at the
weeks.
Final stages of confirming our new acupuncturist. And super excited about her. She's got a great track record. And it's going to be awesome. And, of course, that's an ancient thing, more ancient than any ideas I've ever had.
So acupuncture, Pilates, infrared sauna, which I saw that. That was awesome. I love a good sauna.
That's 600 calories, up to 600 calories per session.
Mm.
It is not real hot to the touch, but it heats up your body. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to do anything. If you're recovering from an injury or whatever, you just come. You sit in the sauna, and it is great. We give you a nice cold washcloth for you to being there with.
Wipe
when you're
all
done.
Your toxins
yeah,
off.
It's
yeah,
it's awesome.
And I remember when, you know, when I started getting into running, you know, I wanted to start detoxing. I wanted to start getting, I wanted to, because, you know, the way I treated myself up to that was not good. Smoking and bad eating and, you know, just bad living. And so, you know, to find things that get that toxins out of you, I find that very interesting, you know, sweating it out.
That could be a website, Bad Living. That probably is a website.
That's my life. That's bad, my story.
Badliving.com.
All right. So we got infrared sauna, nutritional IV therapy with a medical doctor.
Yes.
Dave's not stabbing
that's
people.
That's prescription
over.
Only.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's serious.
Assisted stretch therapy, my favorite. Put a little star behind that. Yeah. I think that's the key.
We're super excited about it. You
that
know,
is
it
the key.
Is,
if you are starting to run, you're starting to exercise, go see these guys. Get an hour. Get a stretch. Get educated in what does what and what's bending where and why. Because, listen, you can probably fix most of your aches and pains by stretching.
Absolutely.
All right. So clean air used by NASA kills SARS-2.
Yep. We have a clean air machine that is amazing, and it has been proven to kill SARS-CoV-2.
We beat COVID. Congratulations.
Yeah, we did it.
We beat it.
We
Thank
did
you.
It. We actually, interesting story, a local retailer with 12 stores, she was having a lot of absenteeism, and she put the machine in every single store, and she raves about it because it's, she said she her attendance has gone way up with her employees.
Okay. There it is. So a clean, organic food.
We are all organic all the time. We make raw. We make paleo, vegan, sugar-free, dairy-free.
Gluten-free?
Gluten-free. Everything is gluten-free. My wife and one of my sons are gluten-free, and everything we've ever made or sell for 13 years.
So gluten-free or celiac-ready gluten-free?
Yeah, good question.
Because there's a difference, because my ex-father-in-law was gluten celiac, and, you know, you and I being gluten-free is a lot different than when you have celiac and you literally cannot have
anything.
I mean, did you know the dust on chewing gum? Mm-hmm. I have noticed they've started taking the dust off, but the dust on chewing gum used to be a wheat-based product.
I believe it.
Gluten.
So no gluten in our building.
Okay. So celiac safe.
Celiac safe.
Okay. That's great. Great job. Organic gluten-free right there, superfoods. Sorry. Organic cold-pressed juice. We've discussed
that. We talked about that. That's juice fresh. It's awesome.
It's delicious.
Very exciting.
You walk in the front door, and right as you're met with a case
Boom.
Of juice.
You're met with a case of raw, fresh juice.
You know, an ice for a refrigerator case.
And a lot of people, you know, it starts with that first juice. And because people are very skeptical about anything, rightly so.
Yeah.
So we're just like, here, try a sample of this. And then, if you want, try a whole juice and see how you feel 10 minutes later. Let's start with the first 10 minutes, you know. And if you feel better, great. Why don't you try two juices and take them home? Come back in 2 days and tell us what happened. And that's how the journey starts for a lot of people. And men in particular are super skeptical. But they become like raging juice advocates. Men go from, like, this is bogus to get out of my way, and the husbands and wives are fighting over the juice, and the man will put a fridge in the garage and put a chain around it.
Listen, I think everybody out there wants to be healthy. I think everybody wants to exercise. I think, you know, self gets in the way. You know, I wanted to be a pilot. You know, I just didn't have, you know, the time or the energy or the drive to go get my pilot's license. But I think a lot of people would like to be a pilot. I think a lot of people want to be healthy, and I think stepping through that threshold. And if it's just a juice, right? Because you're not unhealthy drinking this juice. I mean, you want to be healthy. That's part of the thing, is drinking juice and taking care of yourself and being considerate of what you're putting into your body. So it's maybe a little intimidating, right?
You said the magic word.
Which one?
Threshold.
Oh, that's a good one.
Threshold is a huge thing. I've been a retailer. I've done bricks and mortar, like I said, for, you know, 30, 40 years, more than that, more than 40 years. And I talk about that when I'm having sales meetings or when I'm doing training or I'm trying to build a business or do outreach. I'm like, that threshold. Okay, you approach our building like I approached your studio this morning. I went to the wrong place. I was two doors down. I was at the wrong threshold
when
I came
here.
I was at your salon, which looks awesome.
Thank you.
But I wasn't at the studio. So I was at the wrong threshold, right? Because I didn't know. Right. I'd never been here. And then when I came to the right threshold, I still had to step into it. I didn't know what I was going to see. I come in here, they're Dempsey. I'm like, hey, am I going to have to fight this guy? He's bigger than me. So right off the bat.
Chris Cornell 2.0.
You know, he's putting down a new rug. I'm tripping. It's Dempsey, a whole new thing. So boom, I'm thrown into a whole new environment, right? I'm in here. I'm in the studio. I have never seen Dempsey. There's a new rug. I'm in a new place. That is really hard for human beings. You know, they'd rather stay in the pod, you know, watch cable and deal with their cat. And nobody wants to go out and step over a threshold, but that's where the great adventure is. But it's really hard for human beings. That's one of the reasons TV is so popular, because you can kind of see what this new restaurant looks like, or you can kind of see what this place is going to be. You saw the inside of Costco on a TV commercial or whatever. Now you feel comfortable going because it kind of meets your expectations. But getting people to step over the threshold is huge.
Well, self. It's all self, right? I mean, when I came to your store, I'm like, do I want to go in here? Because, you know, I'm trying to find, you know, I'm doing a podcast, and I'm trying to find people, you know, to come on the podcast. I've got to walk through that threshold and start to, you know, expose kind of who I am and what I'm doing and be prepared for the word no. And self's like, why even bother, Tom?
Right.
Let's just not even, just keep
going.
Why
bother?
And then, but you do it, whether it's pushing through the threshold, whether it's going for a run, starting to get ourselves on a better path for wellness and feeling healthy, a miracle takes place.
A miracle. That's another key word. There's a book that I really don't like called Getting to Yes. Okay, it's a sales book. It's about me saying, Tom, are you satisfied with your income? Or, Tom, are you satisfied with your weight? You know, if I could show you a better way to live, would you sign up with me today? Getting you to say yes and corner you and corner you and corner you till you have nowhere to move, and then I get your credit card. What I tell people to do that work that are associated with us, we're looking for no, okay? In Sussex County, there's a vast majority of people that are not interested in what we're doing. So that's the haystack. We're looking for the needle in that haystack. But we can't find the needle. I can't say, hey, Tom, if you were working for me, hey, there's a huge haystack there. There's a needle in it. Please bring me that needle right now. It's not going to happen. You can't find it. But I said, Tom, I need you to – the haystack has 10,000 pieces of hay in it. I need you to move 1,000 pieces of hay out of that per day over the next 10 days. About halfway through, statistically speaking, you're going to say, hey, David, I found a needle because I got that hay out of the way.
Yeah.
So we go looking for no. I went out with one of our associates recently. We went to about 30 businesses. We hit the fitness businesses and just introduced ourselves and gave them a flyer and told them what we were doing. And I told her, we're looking for no's. We're looking for people that don't want our products and services. And yesterday the phone rang, and it was someone we ran into and that outing, and they wanted to stretch. If you go looking for yes, you're going to get rejected. If you go looking for no, I guarantee you're going to find it. If you ask that girl out for a date, I'm guaranteed you're going to get your no. If that's what you're looking for, you're going to get your no. But eventually, you're going to get the prize.
Well, and I also think that it's important that we try to figure out what is really motivating us. You know, there was a time I used to go to the gym because I wanted to score chicks. Right, that was about self, ego.
You scored a chick. I met your wife.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She is awesome.
And you know, I met her, and I wasn't doing the gym. it was just me. But my point is that you know, humans, you know, we get motivated. We create kind of scenarios in our brain about like, listen, I'm going to work out. I'm going to score like you know a bunch of chicks, and I'm going to be awesome. But eventually, that fades. Right. Eventually, you do meet the person, and then you maybe. Like for me, I got married, and so I'm obviously not meeting any more chicks. So if that was my motivation about getting healthy and the prize is gone.
Right. Then you go, you're like the ex-NFL player, you go get in the recliner.
Right.
And
so, you know,
pants size.
One of the things that, you know, and I use my getting sober as an example for a lot of things, but, you know, I had to stop worrying about drinking and I had to start falling in love with sobriety. You know,
wow.
And it's sort of the same thing with exercise. You know, I had to stop worrying about why I'm doing it and fall in love with the results. You know, that moment, in the moment. You are where your feet are.
In the moment, yeah. You are where your feet are. And, of course, there's so much non-bricks and mortar now, right, with especially work from home and COVID. And, you know, I was on a family trip, and I think we had everybody, all my sons and all my daughters-in-laws there. And they're all in, a couple of them are New York banking, Charlotte banking, investments, all that. They're all on their laptops working.
Yeah.
And we're in a remote place at the beach. And there's like six people on Zoom, different companies, Yep. A couple of my sons work for the same company, and I'm like, wow, no feet anywhere except under the table with the Zoom going on. I'm like, wow, that's a kind of scary.
You are where your Zoom is.
Yeah, you are where your Zoom is. We got to get out.
Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on the podcast. Awesome. I love what you're doing.
Thanks so much.
You know, go check him out. You know, he's where Go Brit, is that what it is?
Go Brit is at the end.
Go Brit, Verizon store. You can over there buy some bongs, I think. You can, you know, do everything.
No, that's closed. That closed.
They closed it.
We took their spot. We took Straight's Emporium. We took Bill's Board Shop, and we took the vape shop.
Damn.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No more bongs.
No more bongs.
Hey, we have hemp protein bars.
You got fruit juice. No, we got juice, fresh pressed juice, and no bongs.
Mm-hmm. Hemp protein bars, and we have a hemp protein smoothie mix that we make ourselves with baobab from Africa, which is awesome.
Well, yeah. So clean organic food. And the other thing that is very, you know, if you're into water, which my family is, I was thinking this morning, we drink a lot of water. You know, I take one of these things home and just... We love water, but you know, and you let me try the clean alkaline water. It was delicious. So yeah. Go check that out. Gluten, organic gluten-free superfoods are going to organic cold-pressed juices, 3-day organic juice cleanse, organic skin and care, and organic body care, plant-based supplements and wellness scans, zero-gravity chair, which I sat into, which is awesome.
Free rides in the zero-gravity chair for all your listeners. That's how much we love you guys.
Yeah, so go check them out, Wellness Connection. Do you have an Instagram?
Probably.
Come on.
Actually, my wife said something about Instagram yesterday, that there was some sort of problem with it. I don't know. I need to get up on that.
But yeah, you got to get on the Instagram game. Unfortunately, now we're in a world that, listen, you got to do some reels. You got to do some stories.
I agree.
You got to do some posts.
I agree.
You need to get that.
100%. Show off that
pouring
juice.
That juice, pouring, you know, the juice. On the loop.
Pouring the juice constantly.
You got to get on your Insta game.
I got to get my Insta game. I'll work on that. You've given me assignment.
I want you to succeed.
Thank you so much.
And it's unfortunate because sometimes it takes just that.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you got to learn about you, and you got to get cute, and you have to have fun stories. And
absolutely.
You know.
Me getting cute could be a problem, but we've got cute people working for us.
There right. You go, so, show them all.
Yeah. I mean, like, cute, you know, cute things. You got to, you know, you're asking people to get out of their comfort zone to come see you. We're asking you to get out of your comfort zone so that we can see you.
I have a really cute dog.
Nice.
There you go.
Feed it juice. All right, Dave. Well, thank you. Did I say Dave? I'm sorry.
David.
Yeah, Dave. Thank you. I was starting to think it was Davison. I was like, oh, shit. Yeah. Nah,
David Harrison. David Harrison. Wellness Connections.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.